time for Nate because he's already produced another book that is fascinating. It's a compelling read titled Fantasy Man, a former NFL's descent into brutality of fantasy football. Good evening, Nate. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Okay, so we are looking forward to talking about your new book. We're going to profile that this evening. But before we highlight that, give us some early impressions of your former team, the defending world champs. I mean, what have they shown you?
Well, they look strong. They look to have picked up where they left off. And that's a really difficult thing to do in the NFL. There are 32 teams. Everyone is good. Contrary to popular belief, there are no bad teams in the NFL. And all these guys right now believe that they can win. And so everyone's gunning for the champ. The Broncos lost a lot of guys, especially off the defense, but they seem to be have not missed a beat. They are playing well. The offense is now able to do a few more things than they were last year. And so, yeah, they look good to me.
Okay, author and former NFL wide receiver and tight end Nate Jackson with us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, of course, played with the Denver Broncos, so that's where we are starting off our conversation. Give us your impressions of their new quarterback in Trevor Siemian. I mean, assessment of the job that he's done, because he's looked, I mean, Nate, really solid.
Yeah, well, Gary Kubiak is their head coach, and he's the offensive mind on that team, and he has a specific system in place that the players run, and the quarterback is asked to do some very specific things in that offense. One of them is play action pass and move out of the pocket and throw on the run, and that's something that Peyton Manning wasn't able to do last year. It limited their playbook a little bit last year. Of course, it didn't stop them from being the best football team on planet Earth. We kind of forget sometimes that it's not about the statistics, it's not about the numbers, it's about whether or not you win, and the Broncos did win, and so it's going to be hard to repeat that, but Trevor Siemian is looking pretty strong, very composed. He's an undrafted player, which is very rare to find an undrafted quarterback starting in the NFL, but he seems very confident, and his team is rallying him around him. That's really what's most important. If you have the support of your locker room, we're all in this together, it's not about me individually, it's about the team, then there's no limit to where you can go.
So is Trevor, what do you think? Is he a short-term solution, or is it just a matter of time before Paxton Lynch gets in there? I mean,
well, they obviously drafted Paxton Lynch because they wanted him to play, but the Broncos seem to have not, as far as the organization and the coaches, their egos are not bigger than their will to win and their ability to see the truth unfold in front of them. And so if they have a player like Trevor Siemian, who's leading his team to victory, I don't think they're going to mess with that recipe. If they keep winning, they're going to keep giving him the start. And as long as he keeps performing, he's going to hold on to that. And, they'll keep Paxton Lynch on the bench until they need him.
Author Nate Jackson with us tonight at the all-new SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Here in just a moment, we're going to highlight his brand-new book, Fantasy Man, a former NFL player's descent into the brutality of fantasy football. And it's such a pleasure to have him with us tonight. We wanted to pick his brain and talk a little bit about his former team in the Broncos. We have already highlighted offensively, but what have they shown you defensively?
Well, they're a hungry team. They are very confident, and they know that if the team is going to win, then they're going to have to play well, and they're able to rise to the occasion. They swarm around the ball. They're fast. They have the confidence of their coach. Wade Phillips is the defensive coordinator. They love playing for him. They love playing in Denver. They're big personalities, and Gary Kubiak is a coach. He used to be a player. He's comfortable with players. He lets them be themselves. A lot of times in the NFL, coaches will have problems if they go in and try to tamp down guys' personality and not let them be themselves. If they're intimidated by the personalities of these athletes, then their team is going to suffer. And Gary Kubiak is not a man who is intimidated by personalities. He lets them be themselves. He lets them trust their instincts on the football field. He doesn't punish them if they don't make a play. He understands the ebb and flow of a football game, and he understands the ultimate goal is to win. And at the end of the season, they won, and so I think they have a lot of confidence in their ability to stop teams' offenses. And until someone really runs wild on them, they're going to have that confidence.
You know, Nate, you played six seasons with the Broncos. When it's this time of year, how much do you miss it, or do you?
There are elements of the game that I do miss, and for many, many years, when fall came around, I was always playing football, and so the changing of the seasons was always married to the game for me.
Yeah.
And so it has been an adjustment, not having football in my life in the late summer and the early fall. I do miss the competition. I miss the camaraderie. I miss that feeling in the air in the city, especially in the city of Denver. I grew up in San Jose as a 49er fan, and the Broncos were kind of a rival of ours. At least we played them in the Super Bowl, and I didn't know anything about Denver until I got shipped out there, and I had 2 hours notice when that did happen. I got a tap on my shoulder when I was playing for the 49ers, and they said, "Hey, we've traded you to Denver, buddy, and your flight leaves in 2 hours. Good luck. Pack a bag. We'll see you." So it was a whirlwind experience, but I ended up falling in love with the city. I still have a home there. I have a lot of friends there. I do have a lot of nostalgia involved with the way I feel about the team, but there are elements of it that I don't miss. I don't miss being in constant pain and having constant rehabilitation for injuries and constant work on my body. And I don't miss sitting in meetings for 4 hours every single day, listening to coaches speak. I don't miss that. I don't miss not being able to speak up when I disagreed with something happening. Football players are told to shut up and play, and they don't get to speak up about their own feelings about the subject on which they are experts. They are the experts in the room, but they're not consulted, and so that's one thing I don't miss.
Nate, how are you physically? How do you feel when you wake up in the morning?
I feel pretty good now, but it's taken a long time to kind of get to the point where a lot of my injuries have died down. It's taken a lot of work, a lot of effort to realign my body. You know, I've had a couple surgeries since I stopped playing. I probably will have to have more surgeries. It takes a constant maintenance of your body and an unclenching of what used to be clenched. You know, when you play football, football is a very counterintuitive sport when it comes to protecting the human body. Typically, if a very large object were barreling down on you in the street, you would move out of the way of that large object. In football, you are not allowed to do that. In fact, you have to hit that large object with your head as hard as you can. And so these are not things that you can really apply to the real world. And when guys leave the sport, their bodies are used to that hunched over, forward-leaning, explosive head-first violence, that no questions asked, yes, sir, may I have another mentality, that does not translate to life after. Physically and mentally, there is a transition that's difficult, but I think that if guys commit themselves to it, they can do it.
Former NFL wide receiver and tight end, of course, played with the Denver Broncos. He is now an author. Nate Jackson with us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're going to transition. Let's highlight and shine the spotlight on your new book, Fantasy Man, a former NFL's player's descent into the brutality of fantasy football. So, Nate, tell me this. What can readers look forward to when they open up the book?
Well, they can look forward to a former NFL player diving into the world of fantasy football and exploring all the contradictions and all of the kind of the intrinsic silliness that goes along with the fantasy football world versus the reality of football and the nuance of what it's actually like to be in the locker room. But I play fantasy football now with my old high school, childhood, and college buddies. They invited me to come into their leagues after I was done, and I did it reluctantly, and then turned out to be a fun thing for us to do to stay connected. We get together at the end of every summer and have our draft, and that's where the book starts off, at our fantasy football draft, drinking beers and making fun of each other like we do so well. And it just follows last season, the 2015 season, as a former NFL player playing fantasy football. So it's kind of a fun romp through the NFL on both sides of that fence, and I think people will enjoy it.
Well, has it filled the void? I mean, obviously, you love the sport of football. I mean, now it's a vicarious thrill, and you don't have any injuries, right?
That's true, yeah. The brutality part in the subtitle is a little bit tongue-in-cheek because there's nothing physically at stake for us when we play fantasy football. The brutality was more the way we treat the players who are on our fantasy teams. We don't really have much regard for their lives or their feelings, but they are human beings. They do feel pain. They do get sad. And part of me writing my first book and this book as well was an attempt to humanize these guys and to show what they actually go through.
Hey, Nate Jackson with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, author of his new book, Fantasy Man. We're going to continue the conversation after this quick time out.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
We are are so glad you're with us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, the fastest 2 hours in radio. And I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. Listen anytime, anywhere for your Android or iOS device. All of your favorite SB Nation shows live and on demand right from your smart device. You can search SB Nation Radio in the iOS or Google Play Store. And if you don't have an Android or iOS device, you can stream us on most smart devices at SBNationRadio.com. I tell you what, here in hour number two, we've got some great guests. Dick Vermeil is going to be coming up a little bit later in our program. But right now, we're going to be rejoined with Nate Jackson, author of his new book, Fantasy Man. Of course, spent 6 seasons with the Denver Broncos, former NFL wide receiver and tight end. How has writing helped you make the transition from the NFL?
Well, it's been really, I can't understate how important it's been for me personally to write and help me move on from that experience. When you play in the NFL, like I was saying, you're implored to shut up, stay silent, follow orders. You're an obedient soldier in the NFL. They don't have room for people and their opinions. It's 4 hours in meetings, like I said, but the players themselves, who are the best in the world, are not being consulted. And so your mind loses the ability to articulate your own ideas, your own thoughts. Language skills are lacking in that world because they simply just are not asked to speak about anything other than football. And when they are, they speak in cliches. We're taught how to give proper sound bites. We're asked to protect the shield. If we step outside of that and say something that we believe that it bucks the narrative of the NFL or ESPN or whatever, we're punished for it. So that does not lend itself to success in the real world. You have to come up with a plan. You have to articulate your ideas. You have to believe in your own thoughts and your own epiphanies. And what writing allowed me to do was just that, was to trust my own ideas, was to believe in what I think, trust my my gut, and move away from that shield and talk about what was true to me. Really, the truth is what set me free in that process.
So when you reflect back over your career, what would you do differently?
I would not do anything differently. I was practicing as hard as I could every day. I was training incredibly hard. I was following my dream. I was in love with the game, and I was doing whatever it took to be there. Every day was difficult. Every day was a struggle. Every day was a new challenge. I had to be my best every day, and I was my best every day. That's what allowed me to do it. I went from a Division III college with 500 students into the NFL, and so for me, I had no room to mess around. I had to be very, very focused every day and believe in myself, and I wouldn't do anything differently.
You know, it's interesting because I was looking at a number of articles online about you, and you're very strong in some particular stances. You believe that the NFL has no choice but to remove marijuana from its list of banned substances in the future. Why do you believe, as a former player, why they should allow medical marijuana?
I think it's because it's a safer medicine than what they are currently being forced to ingest by the medical groups that treat them. The trainers and the doctors for their team are giving them hard drugs, very dangerous pills, injections, cortisone, anti-inflammatories, Oxycontin, all those things that are turning people into drug addicts and giving them a lot of problems. That can be alleviated with the use of this plant. And already, probably over half of the guys who are already in the NFL are using it. And so in my mind, they're the best in the world. Mm-hmm. They don't have a problem with marijuana. They are elite athletes, and the cannabis, or the marijuana, whatever you want to call it, has allowed them to withstand repetitive head trauma. And science is suggesting that. It's a neuroprotectant. It's good for your brain, contrary to the Reefer Madness propaganda. It can actually help strengthen those ties after a brain injury and protect your brain in advance of a brain injury. And considering that the NFL is mired in a lot of lawsuits, concussion lawsuits, they settled for a lot of money. This affects their bottom line. The NFL, for the NFL, money talks. And I think if they were to kind of look at this without their ego involved, they would see some solutions to some of their problems hiding in this plant. I think it could cut healthcare costs for them, cut down on lawsuits in the big picture, probably improve public relations for them, because if you look at the polls or if you ask people out on the street, the majority of people support medical marijuana in this country, and there's not a player in the NFL who couldn't walk into a doctor's office and get a prescription for medical marijuana because of his ravaged body and brain. And I think the more and more this becomes apparent, the more the NFL appears negligent in this and is opening themselves up to being sued.
As a former player, I mean, did you get a sense as far as what the coach's perspective is on the use of marijuana? I mean, do they really care?
Yeah, that's a good question, because no, they don't. The coaches, what they want is for their guys to come into work on time, to understand the game plan, to know the plays, and to train hard and play good football. And it seems as if using medical marijuana does not deter them from doing all that. And coaches are really happy if their guys stay off the streets, don't drink and drive, stay out of the bars. And medical marijuana allows them to do that. You know, these guys are dealing with a lot of pain. They can't do this without medicine. They're going to need something. So what do you want these guys taking? I think if you ask coaches, they'll tell you that they'd much rather have a guy who consumes marijuana than a guy who's a drinker or a guy who's a pill popper. And there is a disconnect between those coaches on the ground level and the league office that is worried about public relations and punishing players who step out of line.
You know, some might say, though, Nate, you know, why marijuana? Why use that as the avenue? Why not just use to manage your pain what the team doctors are recommending? What would you say to that, Nate?
Well, I think if you look at the statistics, the way that we treat pain in this country is to snuff it out completely, is to kill it at all costs, and it's turning a lot of us into drug addicts. Over 40 Americans die every day from pain pill overdoses. And pain pills are leading to a heroin epidemic in this country. And all of those things can be alleviated through the use of this plant. Science is showing that. Certainly it is still a federally illegal drug. It's a Schedule I drug, according to the government. So it's difficult to study. But they've recently relaxed some of those restrictions and opened it up for more studies to take place. There are a lot of studies being kickstarted right now, some with former players. And I think it's an effective medicine. I've used it myself. The reason why I feel comfortable talking about it is because I've tried it all. I've tried all the pain pills. I've tried the injections. I've been injected with needles everywhere in my body. I've taken every kind of anti-inflammatory pill and every kind of pain pill. And I've also consumed marijuana. And for me, consuming medical marijuana was the thing that helped me. It allowed me to rest better. I didn't get very swollen after an injury. I healed very fast. My mind was intact. So all those things lead me to believe that the NFL's marijuana policy is outdated and needs to be revamped.
Former NFL wide receiver and tight end, of course, played 6 seasons with the Denver Broncos. He is now an author. Nate Jackson is with us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Of course, the title of his new book, Fantasy Man, a former NFL's player's descent into the brutality of fantasy football. And he is a New York Times best-selling author. You made quite a transition from the NFL into being an author. Good job, Nate.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Always a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you so much. Congratulations on the book, and we look forward to another compelling conversation.
Thanks a lot.
Listen anytime, anywhere for your Android or iOS device. All of your favorite SB Nation shows live and on demand right from your smart device. You can search SB Nation Radio in the iOS or Google Play Store. And if you don't have an Android or iOS device, you can stream us on most smart devices at SBNationRadio.com. Stick around. Much more coming your way right here at SB Nation Radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. We are back with you at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show on this Friday night. Of course, our NFL news and notes coverage continues as we gear up for another big weekend. Such an honor to have joining us this weekend on the Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. That is Super Bowl winning coach, the great Dick Vermeil. We invited him on the program this evening to talk about two of his former teams in the Eagles and the Rams. And of course, we want to find out the latest with Vermeil Wines, because you know what? The holidays are just around the corner, and he's going to hook you up. Good evening, coach. It's great to have have you on. We've missed you.
Oh, it's great to be with you guys. I'll be there in October.
Okay, we're looking forward to it. Well, get us up to speed. The 2016 NFL season, I think it's off to a great start. And I wanted to, one of the reasons we have you on tonight is we wanted to highlight some of your former teams. And, of course, let's start with the Eagles. They are 2-0. They got the big game on Sunday against Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers. And all I can say is go Eagles, because they certainly look like the real deal and have exceeded expectations. What say you?
Well, there's a big difference between the teams that the Eagles have played, already, in the Bears and the Browns, maybe two of the worst teams.
Right.
Struggling teams, anyway, and they were last year as well. Now, Pittsburgh, a much, different organization. And I think early in the season, you got to be careful of saying, well, the Eagles are a young team. They've beaten two losing teams. They can't beat a team like the Steelers. You know, no one's a playoff team today. They've got to play 16 games normally to get into playoffs. Uh-huh. And I think the Eagles have to be very careful of giving Pittsburgh too much credit based on reputation. And I really believe the Eagles, as they're playing now, and their strength is their defense. The strength of Pittsburgh is their offense. And I think they might be able to keep the game close enough so a few good plays in offense could win it for the Eagles.
Okay, so you talk about the strength for the Eagles of the defense, but we got to get your overall evaluation of Carson Wentz. His production so far, he has made quite an impression. And obviously what I've noticed is that the Eagles, they have a tremendous amount of trust and confidence and comfort level with him.
Oh, they do. You know, and first off, I can't say anything different than's already been said. Okay, everything's very positive about the kid. He's ahead of the game, beyond expectations. Though when you move up to do what they did, a bold move to get up to second pick, give up a lot, and then draft him, and let go, I think, an all-pro quarterback to go play for Minnesota in Sam Bradford. And he proved that the other day.
Yeah.
That, it's a big gamble. But I think it's going to pay off. From what I have seen, I'm very, very impressed. I went back thinking over the years, what rookie quarterback just jumped in and started like that? Of course, Ben Roethlisberger did. Dan Marino did. But, Ben and Dan, when they started, the offenses were different than they are today. And even Ben admitted that in the paper this morning. It was defense and great run game then. But now it's passing game and the quarterback. And it looks like Carson Wentz is starting faster than they did.
Legendary NFL coach Dick Vermeil is with us tonight at the all-new SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We'd love to connect with you. Join us at Twitter at E Radio Sports. And, of course, you can go to our podcast page at podcastarena.com. And, Coach, you were just talking about some of the comparisons that are being made. Is it too early to make a comparison with Carson Wentz, like a Ben Roethlisberger from, Ben's early years in the NFL?
I don't think it's too early. I really think this kid is something special. And because he played at North Dakota State, they play that down. But he played on real good football teams here. And they proved by beating Iowa a week ago, they're no fluke. So I think we've got to take and go with what we've seen. And he's playing very well. Quarterback efficiency rating over 100. He had two touchdown passes dropped in the game the other night. Mm-hmm. Just imagine what they would be saying if they hadn't dropped those passes. So let's give him credit. And I think he's the kind of kid, attitude-wise, maturity-wise, that can handle it without ego getting involved. I think he's basically a humble, what you see, what you get type of kid, young man that is. And I think we hit a home run, and hey, all credit goes to the Eagle organization.
Yeah, Carson Wentz, he's got a terrific disposition. You talk about his maturity. But why do you think he has been able to cross over from North Dakota State and make such a quick transition in the NFL? That's remarkable in itself, Dick.
Well, first off, it's physical attributes, size, speed, and throwing arm, and he's proving he can throw the ball accurately. Secondly, he's a very, very intelligent kid, so nothing is beyond him mentally. I think also when kids grow up in the North Dakotas and the South Dakotas and some of those states, they grow up in a little more real world.
Yeah.
And even though they're great athletes and everything, it doesn't distort their egos. And I think they mature a little quicker in that environment, and they don't get a distorted opinion of themselves or the big things that happen around them. So I really think they're and maybe I noticed this even when I was coaching with kids raised by military families. They just sort of think differently. And I think I've coached some kids out of the Dakotas and some of those smaller states, and they just think differently and they respond a little differently.
We highlight Carson Wentz, but it is interesting as you look across the league. I mean, rookies don't always make an immediate impact in the NFL. So tell me this, Dick. I mean, what kind of methods did you use to prepare rookie quarterbacks to help them get ready?
Well, the first message I would say, first off, he's very fortunate to be in a scheme that's proven, being coached by coaches that have coached the same scheme for a long time. And it has all along been quarterback friendly. Okay, it has all along. And I think there have been other kids picked in the first rounds that were unfortunate. They were victims of the system and the coaching they got, and therefore they failed. Or they went into a system with an organization so short on personnel that there's no way the quarterback could play like he had the ability to be, a la Sam Bradford.
Mm-hmm,
you know?
Yeah.
And but I really think, you've got to forget this kid's a rookie and coach him, let him play. That's all. He's yours, and it doesn't look to me or appear to me that they're holding back. And I think if I were coaching him, just like Kurt Warner with Mike Martz, we got going and said, we're going to coach him as if he'd been playing 10 years. And it puts pressure on him, but Kurt Warner handled it, and it looks like Carson Wentz is going to be able to do the same.
Okay. Super Bowl winning coach Dick Vermeil is with us tonight at the all-new SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. We are interactive, and we love to hear from you. Join us at Twitter, at eRadioSports, and go to podcastarena.com. You can listen to the entirety of this interview. And all the years, Dick, that you spent in the NFL, what do you think is the key component with predicting whether or not a quarterback is going to be a success or a bust in the NFL?
Boy, I'll tell you, if I had that answer, I probably wouldn't be sitting here. I'd still be working. Someone wouldn't let me retire.
All right.
You know, but I think some people have a better sense, a better inner feel for what it takes to be a quarterback, and they better recognize it in the evaluation process of the people that they see. More people have failed with quarterbacks than I think have succeeded. I mean, you just thought, you know, Brett Favre just went in the Hall of Fame. He did not start out with the Green Bay Packers. Steve Young did not start out with the 49ers. They moved into a system with people that understood what they wanted of the quarterback and recognized this quarterback could do it.
Uh-huh.
And then they give him the opportunity and surround him with the people that will allow him to do it. I think it's getting a little tougher in that practice times are restricted now. So the young quarterbacks, unless you're a first-round pick, don't get a lot of preparation time. That's why I'm so impressed with the kid at Dallas right now. To me, he is very impressive.
That's
every bit as impressive as Carson Wentz. I'm very impressed with that guy. And what was he, a fourth-round pick?
Yeah.
But he came into a situation of need, and he got all the work.
Well, let's take a look at the Los Angeles Rams, because here they've got a rookie quarterback in Jared Goff. And this is one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, Coach, is, I mean, do you agree with the Rams taking a slow, cautious approach with him? I mean, let's not forget he was the number one overall pick in the 2016 draft. He's got to get some reps,
right? I don't
know.
They've been losing. They've lost 4 years in a row there. They've had nothing but offensive troubles. They fired a number of offensive coordinators. I think the future is now. If he's going to be their quarterback, they better play him. If not, they better, you know. It's, first off, they passed up Carson Wentz, and he's played lights out for two games, and this guy didn't even suit up. You're talking about it. The Rams didn't even suit up in the first game. That's disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, personally, I think, hey, put him in and let him play. How could you score less than they have scored? They haven't scored a touchdown two games.
Yeah.
How could you score less?
Well, they've got to make some changes, and it certainly has been. You know, when we look across the league, it has been the year of rookie quarterbacks. So, I mean, if you're coaching Jared Goff, I mean, what advice do you give him on learning to be patient within the system? I mean, it sounds like from what you're saying, you'd already have him out there on the field.
I would. You know, Jeff has got more experience as a head coach in the league now than I do. And he's been around a long time. He's a fine coach. But he just has not been able to put an offensive football team together and a team that plays consistently week in and week out for one reason or another. Normally, they just don't have enough personnel. So they have to go back and find out why they don't have enough personnel, then find out if they have enough personnel, then why aren't they winning? But, you know, no one's asked me my opinion, but if I did what the Rams did to get that quarterback,
mm-hmm.
I think I'd have him playing right now. And find out I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Okay? But you don't find out much him sitting on the bench or not even suited up.
The conversation continues with legendary NFL coach Dick Vermeil tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Come on back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Welcome back inside SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. And before we continue our conversation with Super Bowl winning coach Dick Vermeil, we'd love to hear from you. Join us at Twitter, at eRadioSports. Listen anytime, anywhere for your Android or iOS device. All of your favorite SB Nation shows, live and on demand, right from your smart device. You can search SB Nation Radio in the iOS or Google Play Store. And if you don't have an Android or your iOS device. You can stream us on most smart devices at sbnationradio.com. And go to our amazing podcast page, that is podcastarena.com. And I know in the past when you've been in town, you've had the opportunity to speak with the Houston Texans. So kind of get us up to speed on what you've been up to. I mean, do you make a point to visit some of your former teams, whether it is the Eagles, the Rams, or the Chiefs, and check them out and spend some time on the sideline? Because you got to quench that continual thirst for football. I know how much you love it. It's in your blood, Coach, even if you are approaching 80.
No question about that yet. But I've been to one practice. I went to the Eagles and watched them practice one time. Yeah. I stay away from the Eagles a little bit. They don't need me as a distraction around there. I've had dinner and shared a bottle of Vermeil wine
with
Coach Peterson, and I like him, and he's doing a great job. He's got a good staff. He's got a good football team. This football team was better than a 7-win team last year. Okay, so I think he's going to make them better, and Carson Wentz is going to make them better. And, I'm just impressed. The rest of the league I just follow as a fan. I follow the Rams, yes, because I coached them. I have friends there. The owner owned the team when I was coaching them. I follow Andy Reid, and he played a good game, and Houston beat him. So Houston's a good football team right now, and I know everyone's excited about them. And they've still got some things to get going better. But, they have Brock now, and he's playing well enough for him to win, and I anticipate him playing better as he gets more oriented into the system and everyone gets used to recognizing what he can do for them.
We're wrapping up our time with Dick Vermeil, legendary NFL coach, and I wanted to mention while you're on the program tonight that you are on the Pro Football Hall of Fame ballot. I mean, 2017, Coach, this could be your magical year. I noticed some of the other names on there in terms of coaches, and they've been on our program, Tom Flores and Dan Reeves, Mike Holmgren. He's not been on the program, but I'd love to catch up with him. But what would that mean to you personally, to you and your family, and, of course, to Carol?
Well, ever since I've been out, I've been nominated, but being nominated and being selected is one other, and I take great pride in that. But it's more a reflection of all the people I've been around in the National Football League. I've been around some great coaches that have made me look a lot better than I really am. I've been around some outstanding players that took the game a lot further than we prepared them to play.
Yes.
So I feel it's a positive reflection on everybody that I was affiliated with all through my career. Would I like to be inducted? You bet. I go every year because recent years I've had players inducted. So I go to be with them, and I know the feeling. It would be great. But I think there are people that deserve to be in. Hey, how about Chuck Knox?
Yes.
My gosh. And I believe they've got to let some of these guys in before they pass away.
Uh-huh.
Putting a guy in after he's passed away, I almost admit you made a mistake in selection, but I hope that doesn't happen. But anyway, I'm honored if and when I go in, and I'm not really optimistic. At 80 years old, I might go in when I'm 105, okay?
Yes, yeah, and Dick, you've got the big birthday coming up October 30th. You will be 80, so any special plans that you and the family have prepared for that? I mean,
no, my kids have asked me, and I said I didn't want a special party. I said I'd like to have a family dinner and open a great bottle of wine. Everyone tells me I don't look 80. I don't feel 80.
Right.
So I'm not going to act like I should at 80, okay?
That's great. Okay, so let's give us a hit for all the listeners across the country. Tell us about Vermeil Wines. What's going on? As I mentioned in the open, hey, the holidays are just around the corner. It's a great time to team up with you guys at Vermeil Wines.
Well, I just got back from 18 days out in the vineyard there in Calistoga.
Nice.
In the Valley.
Yeah.
And it's going well. The Cabernet, we did not pick as yet before I had to get back here.
Uh-huh.
But we picked our Zinfandel, the Sauvignon Blanc, the Chardonnay, which came from Sonoma County. But they're doing fine. Our 2014s are going to be released. A few are going to be released in late fall. The rest are going to be released in February of 2017. And they are all to every bottle, a better bottle of wine than we have been making. So I think that's a great tribute to Thomas Rivers Brown and Andy Jones, our two winemakers that have taken over a year and three quarters ago. And they didn't initiate the process on the 14s, but they had a lot of time to work on them. And they're definitely better. And so we're pleased with the direction We're up to 285 club members in our wine club.
Wow.
And now more states, like even Pennsylvania, now we can ship to Pennsylvania here as soon as we finalize our license. So I think, but still, the best city in the country for us outside of the Napa Valley is Houston, Texas. Thanks to Specs and John and Lindy Reedman, they do a great job for us. Rodney Brown, who represents us, does a great job for us. And Robert Pacini buys 100 cases a year.
And I never get tired of enjoying a glass of Vermeil wine. And it is time to stock up. Go to VermeilWines.com, VermeilWines.com. Always such an honor to have legendary NFL coach. He is one of the Big E favorites. We love him. Dick Vermeil with us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And, Coach, we look forward to seeing you in the month of October right here in Houston, Texas. Thank you, Coach.
Take care.
Hey, it is always a true pleasure when we can catch up with the legendary NFL coach, Dick Vermeil, right here at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Listen anytime, anywhere for your Android or iOS device. All of your favorite SB Nation shows live and on demand right from your smart device. You can search SB Nation Radio in the iOS or Google Play Store. And if you don't have an Android or iOS device, you can stream us on most smart devices at SBNationRadio.com. A special thank you to all of our amazing guests and lineup. And as a reminder, don't drink and drive. We'll see you next weekend for the fastest 2 hours in radio right here at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show.
This is the Tony D Show on SB Nation Radio.
We do have some news, though. RG3 has now been on the injured reserve with a shoulder injury. Oh, that was quick, huh? That was quick. How is RG3's career going to be remembered? Just this injured pile of bones?
A great rookie year followed by injury, never playing, and then never heard from again.
Completely beat up, broken down quarterback.
Catch Tony weekdays from 2 to 4 Eastern on SB Nation Radio. This is the Tony D Show on SB Nation Radio.
Let's go to New Orleans quarterback Drew Brees. He joins us on the hotline right now. When you look at your offense, what do you see?
There's a lot of things that we've been working on this offseason. You know, in the beginning, you know, you're keeping things simple and you're just trying to get a lot of the young guys, I think, on the same page where you're teaching them a lot of the fundamentals and you just evolve from there. But listen, as the preseason goes along here, I mean, I think you've got to go step by step. And, you know, I think that we would have liked to have performed a lot better in last week's preseason game, you know, against the Texans. But I think this is all part of the process of continuing to grow and learn. And I can tell you this, there's a great sense of urgency right now with what we're doing, both in the run game and the pass game. There's things that we're working through, you know, trying to just get a gauge for exactly where you're at. But I'm excited. I'm excited the way that we're working. I'm excited the way that the guys approach each and every day. You know, we got some young receivers that are chomping at the bit to be great players. And, man, it just gets me excited to come to work every day with these guys.
Catch Tony weekdays from 2 to 4 Eastern on SB Nation Radio.
Hello, everybody. I'm Keith Jackson. College coaches work hard to beat their opponents, but now they're on the same team to defeat Duchenne muscular dystrophy. It's called Coach to Cure MD, and you can help. Text the word CURE, C-U-R-E, to 90999 to donate $5 on your next mobile phone bill or go online at coachtocuremd.org. Text the word CURE to 90999 and help coaches cure MD.
Brought to you by the American Football Coaches Association and SB Nation Radio Network.
Have you ever been turned down, rejected, or downright denied because of bad credit? Don't let your dreams disappear. We here at Parkview Credit can help you qualify for that new car you've been dreaming about or that new home you know you deserve. Never again be rejected because of bad credit. Just call us here at Parkview Credit today and see how much we can help boost your credit score. We've helped thousands repair their credit so they could finally start qualifying for the purchases they've been dreaming about. Stop being held back from getting the things you want. We help rebuild your credit score so you can qualify for the home, car, or credit card you deserve. No matter how bad your credit is, just call 1-800-932-7559 today to see how much we can help your credit score. No one is turned away. Call now, 1-800-932-7559. That's 1-800-932-7559. Again, 1-800-932-7559.
This is Prime Cut.
Cam, do I need to have another baby? Whoa. I got it pretty good right now. Exactly. I raised those three. If I go, I know. Sometimes you throw that out there like it's no big deal. This ain't a fish, man.
Well, thanks.
You got it.
Captain Obvious.
But I'm saying, like, you're not 27 anymore. Like, having a baby up all the time. I guess
no, but I don't sleep. I'm thinking about it. Not 27. I'm still bringing it. Okay. Better than I was at 27. Thank you.
Tune in to Prime Cut on your drive home on SB Nation Radio. This is the Tony George Show.
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Hey, SB Nation Radio, this is Tony George of the Tony George Show. Be sure and tune in every Sunday morning, 9 to 11 Eastern. The best in mainstream sports information with that Las Vegas twist. Join me, Las Vegas odds makers, the best handicappers in the nation, right here on the Tony George Show on SB Nation Radio. Get the edge against the Las Vegas line.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner!
Universal Fluids is a proud sponsor of the Big E Sports Show at Yahoo Sports Radio, specializing in drilling fluids and production chemicals. Based in Houston, Texas, Universal Fluids has built its reputation on the highest quality products and customer service for oil field providers and production industries. Universal Fluids can service anywhere in the U.S. and available 24/7. Think Universal Fluids, the market leader in providing solutions to oil and gas production problems.
I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. Recently, mortgage rates have dropped to the second lowest level in history. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is all the way down to 3.5%, APR 3.57%. It's a great time to refinance with Quicken Loans and save hundreds every month. So lock in this ultra-low rate before it goes back up. Call 800-QUICKEN, that's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.